Well, folks, as Sarah has already said, we're coming now to the end of our Knowing series. And just a quick memory recap. The main premise of this series is that we grow in the knowledge of God as we grow in the knowledge of ourselves. A healthy level of self-knowledge is something that helps our relationship and our knowledge of God grow. And today we want to approach that through the lens of understanding and knowing our own limits. Know your limits. It sounds like a government health campaign, doesn't it? Know your limits. But I get the sense that in our contemporary age, that our approach to limits seems to suggest that we generally think that limits are not a good thing. That's my sense. I don't know if you get the sense of that as well, but when I look around at contemporary slogans, this type of thing is all over the place. Know your limitations and then defy them. You might see that in a place of work. You might see that down at your local gym. Know your limits and then defy them. Limits are something to be overcome. You get that sense? I think that when we look in our world as well, that we have lost a sense of limitation when it comes to perhaps our relationship with work. Huge time demands placed on people in the contemporary workplace. When we think of our relationship with money, when we think of our relationship with stuff, we don't like the sense of limitation of having to hold back. But we instinctively know that not all limits are bad. In fact, we all agree that some limits are very, very good indeed. There are limits that we all agree on that are both good for individuals and for communities. So, for example, if I were to put up there a list of limitations regarding the speed of our driving, we know that our roads are safer, that less people are hurt when people observe limitations, don't we? When we limit the speed at which we travel in our cars or vehicles, yeah, we know that there. That's something we know but don't always obey. How about this? We know that actually the government have recommended certain alcohol limits per week for men and women, and we know that were we overstep those limits, that bad things happen, don't they, to our health, and sometimes tragic things. So obeying limits is not always a bad thing. In fact, I would go as far to say that they are a good thing. When I go to the gym, as I do a couple of times a week, I know that when I don't obey my physical limits, I suffer as a result. I end up walking about like, I was going to say a certain age there, but then I realized I might offend some people in here, older than I actually am, when I don't obey my limits. But of course, when we look to Scripture, when we open up the pages of the Bible, we discover that there are limits that are given to us by God Himself. That should cause us to not only accept those limits, but also celebrate those limits as well. And celebrate the good intentions that stand behind those limits. God cares for us. God takes upon Himself the responsibility of caring and nurturing us, protecting us and providing for us. And in order to do that, He imposes some limits upon us that are for our well-being. And so today I want us to work through a couple of points. And the first thing is that I want us to come to a place where we can celebrate limits as a good thing given to us by God. Now, our limits reveal something, first and foremost, about God Himself. The fact that limits exist say to me that God is a kind God, that God is a good God. If you have served under somebody who doesn't understand limits and who doesn't understand your limits, I bet you that you've suffered as a result at their hands. I know from talking to many of you that is, for some at least, your experience in the workplace. Employers who don't understand that you have limits and therefore are willing to work you to exhaustion, just to use one example. But God isn't like that. And so the fact that limits exist tell us something first and foremost about God himself. And it comes not from an unwillingness to give generously. Actually, God gives generously to us all. Different gifts, different capacities, different potential that exists in each and every single one of us. But they are not limitless. They are not limitless. God does not expect us to do everything, to complete all work, to do all tasks. God does not expect you and I to be all things to all people. That is not a sin. The sin is trying to be all things to all people, because that is an occupation given to God alone. But we see this in the limits that are laid out in some of the creation narratives that we refer to in Genesis. And when we go back to those opening chapters in Genesis, we're able to discern what was in the mind of God when it come to creation itself. And I think it's important for us to say that when we approach these texts, we approach them not with our modern contemporary scientific questions in mind. No, this is a theological endeavor. We're trying to figure out what was in the mind of God. We're trying to discern what lies in his intent when he decided to bring worlds into existence. So the opening chapters of our scriptures, I think that they provide for us a blueprint of what God had in mind in creation, the artistic design as such. And we are straight away introduced to limits that God gives us for our well-being. And a quick skim will have to suffice to today. But perhaps the verse that's most well known from those opening chapters is the one up on the screen today. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Straight away, we intuit limitation that is given to us in the form of our different genders. As a man, I am not capable of doing many of the things that only women are capable of doing. Now, that doesn't say anything bad about me. It simply means that God has, in the creation of humankind as male and female, has decided to give each of us a different capacity, a different potential. But both of us, men and women, reflecting the beauty of our Creator together. We work on to the next chapter, and we read there in Genesis chapter 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, and we did this a number of months ago, we explored a little bit of a theology of work, working our way through these texts. We know that God goes on and he completes the work that was his, and he hands over some of his tasks to you and I, to people. But we see here a pattern towards work that is modeled by God. He's given us all plenty of work to do, but we're not to work 7 days of the week. We are to rest from work. We are to work from rest. And I don't know about you, but when I don't obey the command to have at least one rest day per week, very, very quickly, things begin to fray. And that shouldn't be a surprise to any of us if that is your experience also, because it's the blueprint from which we were designed. We need to rest. We go on to read that the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. These are sacred, holy verses that are opening up to us the very mind and heart of God. Some of the words and some of the thoughts that we have been reading here today are original. They have not appeared before the Hebrews committed them to paper. But a simple observation from this one. We, each of us, have a family of origin, don't we? We each of us have a family of origin. For better or for worse, we can't change that. We each of us have a family of origin. And I would say that for many of us, perhaps most of us, that is a source of real joy. Something to celebrate. The love of mom and dad and the wider family who have cared for us and sacrificed for us. But we also acknowledge that it comes with its own hurt and sometimes its own dysfunction. Actually, when we look at all of those things, the relationship between the gender, male and female, our relationship to work, our relationship within our families of origin, they can be beautiful and joyous things, but they can be deeply painful as well. And it's part of our understanding of the world where the good things that God have been given to us have been twisted, where they have been thwarted by our sinfulness and the enemy of God's people. They are both a good, but something that can cause pain. But the limits that are laid down in a skim reading of these texts reveal that limits are a good gift given to us by God. We could go and look through the Gospels and see that Jesus himself, God incarnate, lives within the limits of his own vocational calling as well. He doesn't strive to do more than what the Father has given him to do. He's obedient to his vocational limits and calling. But hopefully I've said enough that we can emulate or seek to take confidence in Christ embracing his limits, but also looking back to those foundational texts and being quite free and easy with the fact that each of us have limits, not as something to be endured, but something to be celebrated. So having made the case for us, hopefully, to begin celebrating our limits, how might we go about discerning our limits, figuring out what actually are my limitations? You will know that some of the source material that we have been using for our series is taken from the Emotionally Healthy series. And the author of that series, Pete Scazzero, he suggests this as a little bit of a tick list to work through in terms of discerning your own limits. He says there are certain limits that come with the personality that you have been given. There have been some limits around the life season you're in and the life situation you find yourself in at this particular moment in time, your capacity, and also your family of origin. So when I think about that list in relation to myself, personality-wise, I know that I'm an introvert, and I know that that enables me to do certain things. It enables me to do certain work and to do it well because I have a personality type to do it. But equally so, I recognize that I work with at least some extroverts. And there are moments, quite often, when a piece of work arises that an extrovert is better placed to take on than me. And at other times, I appreciate that actually there are certain tasks that fit me as an introvert better. Now, I don't start getting jealous of the gifts and the skills of the extrovert. And I doubt that the extrovert looks at me and thinks I want to be an introvert. Maybe I'm just not a good representative of an introvert. I don't know. But you hear what I'm saying. And each of us falls along that spectrum somewhere or other. I think about the life season as the life season that I'm in at this moment in time. So in relation to age, I'm approaching 40. I know you wouldn't think it to look at me, but that's because I moisturize each morning. But as I approach 40, I think I'm an adult now, I think. I hope. Yeah? You're not convincing me that you think I'm an adult. I think I'm an adult, and I certainly have adult responsibilities. In relation to work, I'm in almost that second season of work where I think I'm maturing, understanding the nature of work and my particular work a little bit more than what I did perhaps 10 years ago. And again, carrying more responsibilities in that particular season. Life situation, if you were discerning it, you could ask it in relation to your health. So thank God I enjoy good health at this particular life situation that I find myself in. But I'm also aware of some wear and tear under the bonnet, so to speak. So it's not visible, but I certainly am aware of it and on closer inspection, you can see the scar tissue and the sore back, etc., that plagues me from time to time. But in relationship, for example, I'm almost 5 years into marriage. So I've kind of sorted that out. I'm an expert in it now after 5 years. What? I jest. I'm an absolute novice. But hopefully I'll get a little bit better at it, of course, the next 5 years, with God's and your help. In relation to money, in the situation that I find myself, is I have enough and deeply thankful for what I have, probably like a lot of you, and also probably like a lot of you, you could do with a wee bit more. Yeah? Who would like a wee bit more? We don't want tons of money. Don't want to win the lottery. But just a little bit more. Yeah? To make life easier. No? Does nobody want that? You have got more money than sense. So I'm thinking we could do a deal here. You've got more money. You don't want any more money, which tells me you've got more than what you need. And I want a wee bit more. Should we set up a little fund? I don't think we're going to get too far with that. But we could go on through capacity. I know that I have certain emotional, physical, and intellectual capacities. Things I'm able to do, but some things are not just given to me. I have to respect them. And as we have already said, family of origin. With all the good and sometimes the pain and the challenge that comes with that. Now, what I wanted to do this morning was to give you a little bit of time to work through those questions, but time is escaping us. But I just want to give you a moment, because there's no point me making a case for limitations. I've given you a couple of little tools to perhaps figure out what some of your limits may be, without actually giving you an opportunity to respond, to actually do something about it. And I wonder, as you have listened on this morning, and in light of what has been said about limits, and as the band make their way back to the front, can you identify ways in which you honor God by embracing your limits? Where you live well in relation to the limits that He has placed upon you? Is there something perhaps that the Lord would want to affirm you in this morning? To say, well done. Keep up that good work. Think of that for a moment, and as it comes to your mind, well, offer it back to God as thanks. He ultimately has been behind that, and it reveals His care for you. I wonder if you've been listening on, if you're able to identify ways in which you transgress your limits. Are there things that the Lord would want to bring to your mind? Not in order to condemn, but to actually lead you to a place where you would embrace healthy limits. Is there something that He is putting His finger upon? And in light of that, what limits might God want you to be mindful of right now? It could be in the context of relationship with other people. It could be in church. It could be in work. It could be in relation to hobbies. It could be in relation to money. It could be in relation to your bodies. But what might the Lord be asking you to be attentive to right now? And in these short and quiet moments, Lord, we invite You to speak into our hearts, into our lives. We invite You to affirm us in all goodness. But Lord, we also invite You to correct us where we need correction. And Lord, to lead us into fullness of life. Lord, we want to thank You that You care for us, and that the limits that You give us reveal Your care toward us. So we give You our heartfelt thanks and praise. Lead us into your ways, gracious God. For we ask it in the name and for the sake of your precious Son. Amen.